Overdose awareness is only it's such an important thing, and only good can come from talking about it with people who have lived experience and personal accounts in order to explain to us exactly why these issues matter. Joining me in the studio are Cherie Short, who lost her son 4 years ago, if I do the maths correctly, and Kayla Cacciavello, who's lost many friends and a partner and has herself had to deal with issues of addiction. Kayla, Cherie, good morning to you both.
Good morning, John.
Kayla, let's start with you. Tell us about your battle with addiction and how you've ended up being able to become an advocate and an ambassador.
I guess my battle started when I was very young. So when I was a young girl, I sustained a lot of trauma in my childhood. So from that, I didn't have very many coping mechanisms to deal with what had happened to me as a young girl. So I guess within me grew a lot of fear and self-hatred and low self-esteem. And I just remember struggling a lot with what I now know is post-traumatic stress disorder. So
when we say young, how young?
I was seven. Yeah, so a young girl, yeah.
So all through your teen years, how did you get into drugs?
So I developed migraines at around the age of 8 or 9. And then from that age, my parents took me obviously to a doctor to try and help me with that. And I was prescribed opiate-based medications. From there, I started to kind of start my drug seeking, because once I'd taken that medication, it numbed what I was feeling inside, and I guess took me to a place where I felt safe and secure, and I didn't fear, I guess, what was going on in my own body anymore, because I was scared. I didn't understand my mind and what was happening, because I was very afraid. I didn't know to talk about what had happened to me.
How long were you addicted for, and what were you addicted to?
So by the age of around 16, I tried heroin and ice, and that, I guess, I only really got clean at around the age of 24. Yeah, so when I met Aaron helped me get clean, yeah, which was Cherie's son.
And we'll hear from Cherie about Aaron in just a moment. Mm-hmm. How long have you been a drug and alcohol counsellor now?
2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's quite a turnaround.
Yeah.
What's the secret to that?
Well, a lot of persistence and a lot of support. For me, I guess I hit a lot of rock bottoms. And I guess I do fortunately see myself as a very lucky person, because, yeah, I had a lot of experiences where I guess I shouldn't be standing where I am today, but I am. So I want to use that to benefit the community today, because I guess I did take a lot from the community when I was in my addiction. And I won't say that I didn't, because I did. And drug use did take more than it ever gave to me. And I guess I want to help anybody who is going through what I went through see that there is a point in their life where they can turn that around and get to a point in their life where they have family back in their life, have friends, can create their own family in their own future and be healthy, have dreams, have hopes, have some sense of healing. Because, yeah, my dear loved ones, unfortunately, started that journey, and unlike me, they had a bad day and just weren't able to wake up from it.
And so they're dead and you're alive. Cherie, tell us about Aaron.
Oh, Aaron was a beautiful young man.
He was your son.
He was my son. Yes, he was our son. He also struggled with a common theme in a story, in that he was prescribed opioids after an accident, and little did we know, Aaron had also suffered childhood trauma. So the opioids soon turned to our baby face boy, scoring heroin on the streets, which was such a frightening time for us parents.
At what age?
He was 18 when he first actually experimented with heroin, and it soon became evident that it was going to quieten his trauma. So,
how old was he when he died?
He was 26. Yes, and he had already had he'd done the most recovery he ever had done in periods of he did have periods of recovery. And, you know, the clouds above our heads were able to shift and we could feel the sunshine on our faces again when he did. So that's how we felt. I can only imagine how it was for him. So, yeah, he was definitely a warrior. To say that somebody's weak and that they have a choice, you know, that's just an ill-informed opinion.
Doesn't help anything. Almost everybody listening surely will have someone in their family, in their extended circle, someone they went to school with, someone they worked with, someone who's at the footy club or whatever it might be. Everyone is touched by this, including me. I mean, I shared a house with a guy and Tom died of an overdose and we were all, you know, shattered, although it was sometime after he was living in the same share house as I was as a student. But there's other examples too, and you just sort of go, you know, we're no better at dealing with this now than we were 10 or 20 years ago. What's holding us back?
Yeah, the system is still to navigate the system is, you know, and its limitations is quite difficult. Yeah.
Education out there is shocking. I think there's a huge stigma around addiction as well and how people are treated.
How did you get insight, Kayla, into what was happening in your life in order to change it?
I just remember that I had been told by a health professional that you either need to seek help now, and I had my dad come because by that point I had pretty much lost all form of connection with my family. I didn't have real friends anymore. There was no real hope in my life at all, and I just wanted to give it another shot, so I went off to a rehab facility and there I got proper professional help, but they actually knew what they were doing, so they addressed my mental health side of things as well as my addiction, and I think those coincided so much so that I needed that to be able to get some time up away from my drug use to actually hold myself accountable and be able to take some steps forward away from my drug use to learn coping strategies and learn to deal with the shame around, I guess, my trauma and start to grow as an individual person that wasn't drug addicted anymore.
This tragedy is preventable. I believe overdose is preventable. We need to change the way we need to change mindsets, which can affect policies and, you know, make humane decisions about people that actually use drugs.
Our thoughts go out to everybody who's been touched by this. So there's an opportunity on International Overdose Awareness Day for people to stop and to reflect, but there's a lot coming up. There's another big push coming shortly for a rethink on the so-called failed war on drugs, and so some of these stories that we hear from both of you today help us rethink what otherwise we've been trying that's just not working.